What are your deepest fears? Where have you buried your shame and anger? What hurts have you hidden from even those you love? What scars from your childhood still bring you pain? What secrets are consuming you? What guilt keeps you awake at night? What life choices stop you from loving and being loved? In answering these questions, you'll discover the spiritual demons that burden your soul, diminish your humanity, and send you off seeking idols and keep you from enjoying life to its fullest. In answering these questions, you'll discover the troubles, trials, wants, and weariness that steals your joy, your relationships, even your life. In answering these questions, you'll discover healing and strength, peace and joy. But answering such questions, facing our fears, confronting our shame and anger, sharing our pain, embracing our scars, revealing our secrets, admitting our guilt is hard, even traumatic. Rather than enduring the pain of life, we exchange truth for a lie, self-medicate rather than seek healing, create personas rather than see ourselves for who we are. We escape, rationalize, and deny. We know our choices lead to death, but we choose them anyway. Commenting on Psalm 85, a prayer for restoring God's people, Augustine offers a place of hope, the city of God. When therefore death shall be swallowed up in victory, these things shall no longer be. There will be full and eternal peace. Who would not long for that city where no friend goes out, no enemy enters, where there is no tempter, no seditious person, no one dividing God's people, no one wearying the church in the service of the devil? Who wouldn't long for such a city? A city filled with friends and neighbors, where enemies and adversaries are no more. A city where our unity embraces our diversity, transforming our divisions. A city where wolf and lamb lie down together and all God's children live in peace. Who wouldn't long for such a city? We long for the city of God. A city where mourning and crying and pain are no more. A city where life is lived fully. A city where everyone is fed. A city where our children are safe. A city where our families are happy. A city where everyone has a place to lay their head and those seeking refuge are welcomed. A city where the spectrums of gender identity and race are embraced. A city where there is no violence to fear. A city where creation is celebrated, not ravaged. A city where loneliness is no more. A city where hate is transformed by love. A city of justice, compassion, peace, and joy. We long for the city of God, yet make the city of earth our home. Augustine's cities aren't distinguished by location, separated like heaven and earth. No, they are coexistent, heaven and earth together, now, determined by the nature of our love, love for ourselves or love for God. The city of God is God's creation, born in the love of God. The city of this world, the city of earth, is the result of human sin, born of self-love. How we choose to live, how we choose to love, distinguishes the city in which we live. For Augustine, the earthly city has made for herself, according to her heart's desire, false gods out of any sources at all, even out of human beings, that she might adore them with sacrifices. The heavenly one, on the other hand, living like a wayfarer in this world, makes no false gods for herself. On the contrary, she herself is made by the true God, that she may be herself a true sacrifice to God. The city of God is a city of pilgrims, living in a strange land. Beloved, as Christians, we were created for the city of God. Yet in choosing to live in the city of earth, death consumes us. We succumb to the idols. Our love is misdirected. Greed, lust, pride, violence, and hate feed upon the weakness of our souls, diminishing our lives and destroying our relationships. Captive to death, our only hope is to turn to God, who has swallowed up death forever. As Augustine proclaims, do you wish that unto you should belong that peace of which God speaks? Turn your heart to God. Our joy, our peace, our rest, the end of all our troubles is none but God. Blessed are they that turn their hearts to the Lord. Isaiah has a similar vision. Chapter 25 proclaims the destruction of the ruthless city and the advent of God's messianic feast. We didn't read it this morning, but chapter 25 opens with a hymn of praise. God is worthy of praise because God has done marvelous things. And what are the marvelous things that God has done? Well, among them, God has left the ruthless city a heap. The fortified city, a ruin, the palace of aliens as a city no more, never to be rebuilt. Is Isaiah speaking of the cities of Syria, the northern kingdom, and their ruthless leaders threatening the kingdom of Judah? Or maybe the cities of Judah themselves and the Assyrians to whom they turned for protection instead of trusting in God? Perhaps any city hostile to God, where the poor are neglected and the vulnerable disgraced. We don't know. Isaiah doesn't say. What we do know is why these cities were destroyed. They are ruthless in their treatment of the poor and those in need of refuge. Their cruelty sets them in opposition to God, who is the protector of the poor and a refuge for those in distress. As a result, God has removed the ruthless from the face of the earth. Only the righteous, here identified as the poor and those in need, only the righteous for whom God has prepared a magnificent feast remain. This messianic banquet shall be prepared on God's holy mountain, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the throne of God where heaven and earth come together. There, a feast of rich foods and well-aged wines shall be prepared. There, where heaven and earth come together, the righteous, the poor, and those in need shall enjoy God's gracious abundance. There, the shroud of death, all that diminishes our humanity and destroys our relationships with God and with each other, the shroud of death shall be destroyed. The language Isaiah uses here is particularly intriguing. Maseka, meaning sheet or shroud, is also the word used to describe the sheet of molten metal poured out to make idols. The shroud cast over God's people isn't only the shroud of death that kills the body. This sheet, spread over all nations, includes the idols and false gods that kill our souls. Idols and false gods we've created to hide our fear, escape our shame, and deny our guilt. Idols and false gods celebrating our self-love. Idols and false gods which diminish our humanity and destroy our relationships. Contrasting the way of the ruthless, a life devoted to these idols, a life devoted to self, which leads to systemic scarcity and perpetual death. Contrasting the way of the ruthless with this messianic feast, the culmination of a life devoted to God, where we enjoy the abundance of God's generous love, living lives of joy and peace. Contrasting the way of the ruthless and the messianic feast, Isaiah offers us a vision for our lives and for our life together. A vision of promise and hope, where death has been swallowed up forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Beloved, today is Easter Sunday. The Lord has spoken. The one for whom we have waited is here. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. God has swallowed up death forever. All that remains is for us to join God in the feast Christ has prepared, devoting our lives to the love of God and the love of our neighbors. The choice is ours. Life or death? Shall we live in the city of earth where death consumes? Or shall we live in the city of God for which we were created? Shall we devote our lives to the false gods that destroy our lives? Or shall we devote our lives to the God that has swallowed up death forever and promises us new life in Jesus Christ? Shall we continue to scrounge in the ruins of the ruthless city, creating idols of anything we can find, our hate and fear, hostility and violence, greed and lust? Or shall we feast together on rich food and well-aged wines with all God's children of every class, color, and creed? Beloved, soon we will gather again at the Lord's table, a foretaste of the messianic banquet Christ has prepared. There, our lives are taken, blessed, broken, and given over to Christ's saving work. There, we receive the courage and the faith to face our deepest fears, to confront our shame and anger. There, our hurts are healed and our scars celebrated. There, our guilt and secrets lose their power over us. There we learn to love and be loved. For in Christ, God has taken away our disgrace and swallowed up death forever. Beloved, let us be glad and rejoice in our salvation. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Thanks be to God.